I don't really know what's going on. I'm currently in my luteal phase, which is like normally my favorite time to be talking in front of a microphone. But for some reason, it just feels really difficult today. So please bear with me. Also, I'm in that part of my luteal phase where every single time a truck drives by and I'm trying to record, I want to literally burst into tears. So there's that as well. Welcome back to another episode of Secrets in Nature. My name is Lexi, and the interview that I have for you today on this beautiful Secrets in Nature Friday is a little bit out of my comfort zone. I really didn't think that I would have a podcast episode focusing on this particular topic this soon. But if this season has a theme so far, if the new solo era of this podcast has a theme, the theme is undoubtedly stepping out of my comfort zone. And I'm hoping that the more that I do it, the more I can maybe encourage others to do the same. And not only that, but I'm starting to truly believe in my heart that anything that scares me at this point, like whether it's something that scares me to do or something that scares me to talk about, it most likely scares me because it is worth doing and worth talking about. So if you haven't listened to my most recent episode, I talk about my experience going off of birth control, and that was kind of scary. That was a huge step out of my comfort zone. And this episode, in addition to some episodes coming up in the near future, are also kind of following that trend. But I'm gonna try to like alchemize the vulnerability of it all and just let it represent my commitment to bringing light to these topics that I know can change lives for the better. So, speaking of vulnerability and changing lives, I found Ellie on TikTok and I loved her video so much. She is such an amazing speaker. She creates content about psilocybin mushrooms. The first videos that I saw of hers were actually about microdosing, which now that I think about it, I don't even know if I had ever heard of that before seeing her videos. So a lot of her content is about that, but she also talks about how she facilitates macro doses of mushroom medicine in ceremonial settings, and she just does an amazing job taking this topic that can be so misunderstood and often seen in such a critical light. And she speaks about it in a way that really captures and highlights the healing characteristics of it. You can just tell that she is always speaking from her heart in her videos. She spoke from her heart this entire interview, and I can tell that she genuinely wants to use her platform to spread love. I find her to be very inspiring. We actually talk about this later in the interview, but her vulnerability actually motivates me to, you know, continue to show up here as my authentic self. We really cover everything in this interview. We talk about the fundamental nature of psilocybin itself, what it means to microdose versus macrodose, the importance of intention, the importance of integration. We talk about all of the things that mushrooms can help you heal, from body dysmorphia to insecurity, trauma, addiction. And Ellie just so beautifully talks about the ways that she has seen firsthand this medicine change lives. I'm truly honored to bring her perspective to Secrets in Nature, and I hope you are able to take something away from this interview. Just whatever you do, do not forget your open mind. Take what resonates in this episode, leave what doesn't, as always. I'm not publishing this in hopes that, like, everyone who listens to it immediately runs and goes and trips on mushrooms. Like, that's not my goal here. My main intention with this episode is to just create the space for psychedelics to potentially be seen in a different light. Maybe it's a light that you've never looked at them in before. Again, my name is Lexi. This is Secrets in Nature, the podcast where we explore all of the ways that humans affect nature and nature affects humans. Please follow me on Instagram at Secrets in Nature Podcast. If you like this episode, please write me a review on Apple Podcasts. It would be so appreciated and so helpful. And I just can't wait for you to hear this interview. So let's get into it. Let's roll it. This is Healing Through Mushroom Medicine with Ellie Stiles. All right. Welcome, Ellie Stiles, to Secrets in Nature. I am so happy to have you here. I love your TikTok videos. I find them to be so insightful. And I love how you speak about plant medicine in such an intentional and rational and confident way. It's very inspiring. I can't wait to get into it. So please come to the mic. Please introduce yourself and please share with us in a few words what it is that you do and how you use your relationship to mushroom medicine to help others.
Thank you, Lexi. Thank you for opening the space. Thank you for having me on and just offering a space to share more about this medicine, because it is the most powerful medicine we have access to on this earth. And I believe that in my entire body and in my core and in my spirit. And I am a plant medicine facilitator. I also have a podcast, Elevate with Ellie Styles. I am an intuitive channeler and healer. So all of these moving pieces have come together, and the medicine has really been at the center of what I do. And it's something I recently, this past year, had made a decision in my heart that I was going to devote my life to and devote my time and energy to using this medicine to spread the healing that it has to offer and that it's here to offer, and really rewrite the story of psychedelics and the generalizations and the assumptions that it's this hippy dippy medicine for a certain group of people. And it is really, it couldn't be farther from the truth. This medicine is all about unity. And I just want to deliver a little visual for people about mushrooms. They are decentralized. So essentially, we are centralized. We have a brain. We need every single part of our body to be in harmony to function properly. Mushrooms are decentralized. So you could pluck a gene from a mushroom, plant it, and it can grow on its own and flourish into a whole new life. And so its energy is really unity. And that is really how it shows up in our body, energetically, spiritually, physically. It is a process of bringing everything within us into unification, all the spaces within ourselves that we have deemed unlovable, shameful, undesirable. This medicine seeps into those spaces and really invites in this unconditional love and unity and bonds us together. And not only does this create unification within our own bodies, but unification within the people around us. And so that is what I do. That is what I'm here to spread and really share with people.
That was so beautifully said. And I love that you were able to discuss it from such like a fundamental level, because I'm sure it's something that not a lot of people understand. Like, they know it to be like a psychedelic drug, like you said, for the hippies. And it's something that,
yes.
and it's still, I like watch documentaries about mushrooms, and there's just so much more to them that is so fascinating on like a scientific level that not a lot of people understand or even know about. I do want to take a moment to disclaim before we start this episode, before we get into the interview, that we are in no way trying to promote or encourage the use of drugs. This is just for educational purposes. These are Ellie's personal experiences, and I just want to open the discussion because it's a fascinating topic, and I want to bring light to it in a way that is very informative and intentional. I'm so excited. Let's get into it. What opened the door originally for plant medicine for you?
So I'm sure, like many people that are drawn to this podcast, I was doing all of the quote-unquote right and healthy things to heal my mind, body, spirit. Listening to podcasts, doing yoga, teaching yoga, doing Reiki, receiving Reiki, craniosacral, herbs, teas. I was vegan. I was knee deep in holistic medicine and exploring so many different avenues. And this came from a 7-year long experience with depression, suicidal depression, that really stayed with me for many, many years. And as I was exploring all these holistic alternatives to heal myself, there was still something that was not clicking, that was not changing. I was doing all these things, but the energetic exchange from those things was not being received in my body. It was almost like I was doing all these things on autopilot, and I wasn't actually receiving the healing from these things. They've all played a beautiful role in helping me kind of get to where I am now. But there was a part of me that just knew there was something more to explore. And I had macro dosed a few times recreationally without intention. I had microdosed inconsistently for a couple of years. And I was going through kind of a depressive period, if you will, a couple weeks, and I just couldn't snap myself out of it. I was like, I'm going to microdose for 30 days and I'm just going to see how I feel. I know this medicine is powerful. At that time, I didn't really hold it in the sacred light that I do now, but I knew there was something here. And 30 days goes by and my mood has changed. My creativity is flowing. I'm joyful. I'm excited about life. I am feeling more authentic in my expression. And I'm like, this is great. This is amazing. I'm going to keep going. Months 2, 4 come around. And I am being presented with every single wound that I had ever felt in my entire life. And it was like, here. Here's everything that you have ever suppressed right in front of you. And I don't want to project this as everyone's experience, because this really just depends on what the medicine wants to bring you through. In my experience in those months 2 to 4, and a lot of people share that they move through this with microdosing, is everything in those 2 months is your dark night of the soul, and everything that you've ever shoved way down deep comes to the surface. And this is all very intentional. And this is where I want to shift the narrative of when people are experiencing anxiety, fatigue, anger on the medicine. The easy path is to say, this medicine makes me angry. This medicine makes me anxious. This medicine makes me tired. And really what these experiences are trying to communicate, what the medicine is trying to communicate, is all of the things that you have not allowed yourself to feel, and all the things that have been unsafe to be expressed in the body. And the medicine is really opening those spaces in our body so that they can be released and worked through. And so I encourage you, at any point when you're faced with this, with the medicine, to go deep into those spaces and know that there is incredible, incredible healing on the other side of sitting with all of those spaces. And something I really want to hammer home about this medicine is the ultimate, if there's an ultimate, is to be able to hold all of our experiences in love. So this is not about necessarily shedding every single layer of anger, sadness, you know, grief, annoyance, insecurity, and to only feel love, joy, creativity. The medicine will provide that experience and both. But the ultimate is when those moments arrive that feel heavier, that might be a lower frequency, if you will, can you hold those in the same love that you can your joy, your creativity? And this is not about the removal. This is about the integration of bringing those things into a loving space.
So beautifully said. I love that it goes hand in hand. Like, it's not just like it will bring the joy and the self-love, but something I always like to keep in mind is, you know, what we resist persists. And the fact that it literally holds up, yes, a mirror and shows us all the things that we're probably avoiding, probably like shoving deep down, choosing not to think about, like, we don't like to like think about uncomfortable things or anything that feels like icky in the body. So the fact that it like, mm-hmm, shows that to you and kind of forces you to look at it, I think it's just so beautiful that it goes hand in hand. And I love that you spoke about how accepting those dark parts of yourself is just as important as like welcoming in the joy. So well said.
Yes.
Can you please talk about what microdosing is for someone who might not be familiar?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So microdosing is just consuming a sub-hallucinogenic dose of, in this case, psilocybin mushrooms. That falls anywhere between 0.02 and 0.25 grams. This range is really up to you, up to your personal preference, how your previous history with SSRIs. Some people need a little bit more if they've been on anti-anxiety, antidepressants. Some people want to feel a little more. Some people don't want to feel anything at all. This is really a range that people can play with and experiment with and find a dose that feels good for you. But that is microdosing. Again, it's sub-hallucinogenic. And so the biggest confusion a lot of people experience is, I'm not feeling anything. There's two parts to this. One, you aren't necessarily supposed to every single time. You should feel the intensity of a coffee, similar to when you get like a little coffee high or a little matcha high, a little buzz. I would describe it as a very similar intensity. However, the medicine can expand, or I don't want to use the word shrink, but it can be less noticeable and it can also be more noticeable. And sometimes the dose has nothing to do with it. And it's simply the medicine needing to show up how it needs to show up. Again, stay within that range for microdosing. Anything over starts to fall into more of a macro experience. And if you're just wanting to invite it in on a daily basis, that range is key.
Gotcha. So a sub-perceptual dose that is more for like the neural pathways, like the subconscious rewiring. Like it's not meant to be like seen, it's not meant to be perceived on this crazy level. I do love the idea of like creating the new neural pathways. If we could speak a little bit about that, I just think it's so fascinating to think that we as humans, we're creatures of habit. We tend to use the same pathways in our brain. We have the same thought patterns. We hold on to these beliefs, and this subconscious dose of medicine can help your brain think in a way that will be more beneficial to you in the long run. Like it's so fascinating. Can you speak a little bit on that?
Yes, this is one of my favorite parts and one of my favorite topics, because we all at this point know the word manifest. We all love that buzzword. And we manifest from our subconscious. And when we use the word manifest, it's really we create. We create from our subconscious mind. So whether or not you can go to bed at night in your conscious brain thinking, I'm enough, I'm deserving of love, I am worthy, I am abundant, but your subconscious does not believe an ounce of that, your reality will forever be a reflection of the subconscious mind and what you actually truly believe. And I think really this was the breakthrough from me doing all these podcasts, books, meditations, affirmations, EFT tapping, healing. I really was not shifting on a subconscious level and to the degree that I really wanted to create lasting change. And psilocybin comes in, it disrupts your default mode network. And I want you to think about your default mode network as the space that fills with activity when you are not focusing externally. Simply when you are not present, where does your brain go? So when you are kind of wandering, your mind's wandering, this typically happens in the morning, late at night, maybe when you're daydreaming, where do your thoughts go? And many of us, many people will say, I'm anxious, or I have negative thought loops, or I'm worrying about this, or I'm fearful of this, or I'm insecure about this. That is your default mode network. That's where you go. That's where your subconscious takes you. And what psilocybin does, I like to provide a visual of those thought loops as a circle. Psilocybin comes in, cuts the circle open, makes space. And so it disrupts this autopilot of I'm not worthy, I'm not abundant, I'm not enough. And in that space is where we can create change. And psilocybin increases your neuroplasticity, which means you are very, very ripe and open to rewire the subconscious. And this is where, in combo with psilocybin, meditation and EFT tapping and all of those tools can really create deep, deep and lasting transformation. And I do want to share too, when it comes to psilocybin, you don't have to microdose your entire life to continue to reap the benefits of this medicine. You can microdose for 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year. And if you're like, I'm good, I've made the changes within that I am content with, great. You don't have to consume this medicine continuously to create lasting change. And you can, I prefer to be close with the medicine regularly, but I just want to reiterate that it's not something you lose the benefits of after stopping taking mushrooms.
So for someone that may or may not be like about to start a microdosing journey, or even if they're about to participate in a macrodose ceremonially or whatever it might be, I want you to take a moment to talk about the importance of intention before use, because Or what it even means to have an intention before use, because I'm sure that if someone were to microdose for 1 or 2 months and they have these intentions, they want to help their anxiety, their insecurities. I'm sure that at the end of the day, if you don't have an intention, it might not stick the same way. So please talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple of things that coincide with intention that are really, really important. And I'm going to say before intention, source. And after trialing over 40 different brands in the last 6 months, it is so clear which sources have pure intention behind their medicine and those that don't. And this is really important because the medicine absorbs energy, and it, whatever energy is being worked with, whoever is handling this medicine, their energy is being infused into the medicine. And this is why, also why a lot of people could experience a more anxious or dark experience with the medicine. Not all the time, but this can play a really big role in how it shows up in the energy of your experience. And so prior to intention, I really encourage getting connected to a quality source. I'm partnered up with Flowdose. I have worked with so many different brands to really find one that I deeply, deeply align with. And after quality, after source, we move into intention. And this is the part where I like to say, talk to the medicine. The medicine wants to be in relationship with you. And this medicine carries millions and billions of years of wisdom within it. And setting an intention can really help you create the experience that you want with the medicine and with the healing. And something that my coach, who is also a plant medicine facilitator, shared with me is to, on a micro and macro level, if you're just starting your microdosing journey or if you're going into ceremony, go all in with the medicine. Again, throw all of your, this is going to create healing. This is going to create the change that I'm looking for. And this is going to really signal to the medicine that you deeply trust the medicine and that you are also very open to what it's here to teach you. And so quality, source, intention, what does that look like? This could be, I want to feel connected to my body. I want to feel connected to my sexuality. I want to, you know, relieve the anxiety I feel on a day to day. I want to heal this depression. I want to heal this traumatic event that I experienced in childhood. Really going in and asking what you need. And this can shift and change, right? As you move throughout your journey, maybe you start with one intention and find you want to explore others. This is something you can journal about. It doesn't have to be official. I want to iterate, there are no rules. This is your journey. And this is your relationship with the medicine. And so in setting intention, do you want to sit in meditation and connect with your intention? Do you want to write it down? Do you want to hold the medicine and talk to it and say, this is what I'm really inviting in today? A few examples too that I've done and seen experiences directly come from intention setting was healing my relationship with my body. I really wanted to use this medicine to heal my body dysmorphia that I struggled with since I was 10 years old. And so I went into a macro ceremony setting and I wrote down on a piece of paper and I just said, heal my relationship with my body. And the story in my brain was always, I'm not small enough. I need to be smaller. I need to shrink. And that being smaller was more valuable. And I'm in with the medicine on a macro level. I took 1.5 grams. I would say ceremony setting, it's typically 3.5 grams, but this was like a half of that. And I was sitting in meditation and they're like, go lay down and just put your hands on your body. So I did, just feeling my body. And they showed me this feeling when I was younger that I shrunk myself out of fear of being made fun of. And so I didn't fully express myself. I didn't fully come into my authenticity because I was afraid of being laughed at or rejected, you know, made fun of. And the medicine quite literally spoke these words to me. And again, this sounds like your own voice. It's not a big voice booming in. This is the wisdom from your heart coming in, but it is the medicine working through you. And it was like, you didn't feel safe to expand in childhood, to expand into your full power, into your full expression. And so it's safer in your body for you to be smaller, because being smaller is safer. So this had nothing to do with a physical expression of my body, but it was showing up as a physical, and it was simply an energetic, you did not feel safe to expand. And so being bigger, quote unquote, physically, being bigger energetically was unsafe. And I'm feeling this, and the medicine just goes, it's safe to expand. It's safe to be in your full power. And I was like, whoa, there it was.
Thank you so much for sharing that incredibly personal story. And I can't wait to talk about all the things, because the list of things that this medicine can help heal is like never ending. So I can't wait to talk more about that. I've seen in your videos that you not only participate yourself in the use of full doses of psilocybin, but you also facilitate ceremonies for others. And the first thing that I want to say about that is there's two words that I want to highlight here when we're talking about the use of mushrooms: the word ceremonial and the word medicine. Because the fact that a facilitated use of these higher doses is commonly referred to as a ceremony is important to point out, because we've already spent some time talking about intention. And I think the fact that it's a ceremonial practice rather than a recreational one, it really changes how you look at the practice, how I personally look at the practice. And then the word medicine, because, you know, there is an intention, there is a healing element that you so beautifully described, rather than a destructive element, which is what usually comes from most other drugs, and especially alcohol, which is ironic because it's the most accepted in our society. Are there any other substances referred to medicine in this way? I don't even know.
Yeah, I would say a lot of psychedelic and just psychoactive plant medicines, and that's really, like, when you hear plant medicine, that's typically what it's referring to, are these psychoactive substances. But there are also, you know, non-psychoactive substances that are referred to as medicines, that people would consider. Take cacao, for example. A lot of people work with ceremonial cacao as a heart opening medicine. So these words are important. They do change the story of how they are received and how we use them. And I really feel it's important to address the medicine in this sacred light, because, you know, moving in with that intention and honoring and devotion is really going to reflect the experience you have within yourself. And our whole life is a ceremony, you know, our whole entire life is a ceremony. And that's what I like to tell people is, you know, sure, you come in, we move through ceremony, but the real one begins after the medicine has moved through you, and integrating all of the teachings and wisdom that comes through this into your daily life. Because we can all have this big healing come to Jesus moment and experience this unconditional love and these awakenings. But how do we show up for ourselves and for the people around us every single day? And so how can you invite in ceremony in everything that you do, and everything that you choose, and all of your decisions, and the way that you move through your day to day?
Oh, I love that so much, because I am a firm believer that literally anything can be ceremonial if you choose to make it ceremonial. Yes. Like anything in your daily routine can be a ceremony. So I'm so happy that you brought that up. And another thing that I've seen in your videos that I think is a key difference between like doing mushrooms recreationally versus ceremonially is you speak about putting on a blindfold to turn everything inwards and make it more of an internal healing experience rather than an external experience. So I would love for you to talk a little bit more about why wearing a blindfold can change the entire experience.
Yes. This is something I had no idea existed prior to my first ceremony, but the psychedelic journey, the true psychedelic journey, is with the eyes closed. And when your eyes are open, you are exposed to all this external stimulation, all of this energy on the outside. And, you know, again, a lot of people associate a macro dose with going into nature and going into museums, and those can be beautiful experiences. But when you take all of that external stimulation and you come in, you close your eyes, you have a blindfold on, everything can come inward. And this is where incredible, incredible healing can take place. And so in all the ceremonies I facilitate and all the ceremonies I participate in are with the eyes closed. I don't necessarily use a blindfold anymore as much. I just keep my eyes closed. But it completely transforms the experience. And it's hard to describe in words that are worthy of what the journey looks like visually, but I could speak more as to how it feels and what you could experience in that setting with your eyes closed, if you want to open that space. Up to you.
I have to ask, where does your confidence in facilitating these ceremonies for others come from? Like, when did you start doing that?
Yeah, so I started facilitating this year. I had a mentor. This was something I felt called towards. I always have been involved in the healing space, if you will, in some capacity, whether that was teaching yoga, doing Reiki, doing energy work, channeling. And I was sitting in meditation in the winter of this year. And I just had this download that was like, you're going to be a plant medicine facilitator. And I thought this was like 5 years down the line. I was like, great. Okay. But yeah, I have no idea when I was going to feel called to do that. And then my coach reached out that same exact day I was in meditation. She had actually found me on TikTok. And she was like, hi, I'm a plant medicine facilitator. I just felt called to connect with you. I was like, okay, there's second little confirmation. And then my best friend who lives here in California was walking through the woods and she sent me a voice note. She's like, Ellie, I think you're going to be a plant medicine facilitator. And so I sat with that. I know.
Oh my gosh. I just felt like chills when you said that. Like all in the same day, this was?
All in the same day, all within 4 hours. So I sat with that and I didn't have a timeline. I really didn't. I was like, if this happens in 5 years, great. If this happens sooner rather than later, great. And so I worked with my mentor and received a lot of guidance and knowledge about this medicine, about ceremony. And then of course went into many, many ceremonies myself and started facilitating. And I would say every single ceremony, my priority and my job is to show up and deeply, deeply listen, because it is more so a practice of listening than it is of orchestrating. And of course, there's planning and orchestrating involved. There's sound healing. There is the opening of the ceremony, the closing, which is arguably a very top important element of a safe and expansive journey, is opening the space and then closing, landing the ship. But in that practice of deep listening, which had started many years ago, just listening to my own internal wisdom, the medicine speaks so clearly. And it was this inch by inch of listening, following, trusting, listening, following, trusting. And so the medicine will say, you know, work on this person's sacral chakra, sing, do this, work with this part of their body, hold space for this. And so every single ceremony, I just get more in tune with the medicine and I trust the medicine more. And when you trust the medicine more, this is where deeper healing can happen. And so that has really allowed me the confidence to move forward because I trust it so deeply. And my very first ceremony, I was trying so hard to orchestrate someone's journey so that it was like beautiful and amazing. And the medicine comes in and sits my ass down. It's like, you are just here to listen, hold space, follow my cues, follow your cues that are coming through you. But I have the wisdom of millions and billions of years and I'm going to do my job. And I was like so humbled in that moment. And
you're like, I just really want to do just a good job.
They're like, sit down, honey. We are the ancient teachers. Like, we got it. And so, yeah, I hope that helps explain a little bit.
For sure. So do you, when you're facilitating ceremonies for others, so my first question is, when you facilitate a ceremony, how many people are typically involved that you are facilitating?
Right now, I'm just doing one-to-ones. And that is primarily because I'm also doing one-to-one body work and energy work, and it's very intimate, it's very personal and attentive. Definitely will be group ceremonies in the next few months. So, yeah.
And do you also partake in the use of mushrooms while you're facilitating?
I do. And sometimes it's 1 gram, sometimes it's half a gram, sometimes it's 3. I really listen. Again, I return to this deep listening of, okay, medicine, where am I needed in the ceremony? Like, where, how much do I feel called to take? And I really listen for that. And then typically the day before ceremony, they'll share a message of kind of the theme of the journey for this person. And so, for example, I had a ceremony last week and they just kept saying, make him feel really, really safe. This is about safety. This is about reestablishing his relationship with the medicine. And so the entire ceremony was around this like beautiful, safe, loving container where he could just feel held. And then the other week was empowerment. So I get these messages and tune into the energy of what that ceremony is going to hold. And we'll also listen for, okay, should I take 1 3 grams? And I just follow the guidance.
That's so interesting. You're like, how much should I take to be at the most of use to the person that I'm going to be doing this with? You spoke about how the closing of the ceremony is the most important part. So what does that normally look like?
It's so different for every person. Some people we end in a Ram Dass meditation. Some we end with a channeled meditation that I'm sharing. The closing is really recognizing when the journey is coming to an end and when the medicine has come full circle and the person has kind of exited the journey. And you will know when you've completed. A lot of people can feel that, and they're kind of coming back into their conscious mind. And there's this sense of completion. A journey is very cyclical, and the way that the mushrooms present, they are very cyclical. And the individual knows, and then I can also just pick up on, okay, we're closing, and how can we tie this? How can we tie this bow up and like wrap the present? And again, I return to the listening, and this is meditation, this is intention, just coming back into the body. I love using words to close the ceremony. And then we close, we say a prayer, thank the medicine for its teachings. We come up, and then we start the integration process. And during integration, I cook a meal, and I encourage people to record what's coming out fresh out of ceremony, because it's hard to write everything down. So I encourage people to start recording voice memos right after the ceremony to just like let everything come out so that they can revisit it weeks later, a couple of days later. And that's when our integration process begins.
That was like the perfect segue. My next question that I had written down was about integration, because just like anything in life, experiences and new knowledge, new information, it's only as useful as we make it. So I love that you said you sit them down, you have them dump their thoughts into a voice memo. It's definitely like the most quick and effective way. I love that you do that. And what do you encourage them doing moving forward, like after the closing of the ceremony, after they get all their thoughts out? How do you encourage them implement it into their lives moving forward?
Yeah, the big question, right? Number one, the psilocybin is going to be active in your brain for a couple of weeks after, right? And even on microdose days, the psilocybin is working on your off dose days. And so it's really important to acknowledge the presence of the psilocybin in your system and know that you're still sensitive and that you're really, really open. Post ceremony, you are so open. Your heart's open, your energy body's open. And so being really mindful of what you're feeding yourself and what you're processing. And what I share with people is when we're starting integration, it's so important to recognize that you are a new version of self that gets to hold these experiences that you previously experienced. And so typically what can happen post-ceremony is those patterns, those traumatic events or things that keep us from feeling fully in our worth and in our power start to visit in the weeks after. And they're like, we're back. And people are like, I thought I healed that. I thought that went away in ceremony. And it's like, no. Like, yes, your conditioning could have been swiped, cleared, healed on a cellular level. There's a lot of cellular healing happening. However, you are now a different version of self to hold this. And how can you show up with that present? Just for an example, in a ceremony last week, this guy makes music and, you know, we were on the phone a couple days post-ceremony and he's like, I feel the imposter syndrome coming back. And the message was like, the imposter syndrome is God too. Can you create with the imposter syndrome present? And can you hold it in a different space? You don't have to fear it. You don't have to, you know, shove it away. Let it come up, let it be. And can you create from that space with it present? And so integration is really the process of bringing that unconditional love and acceptance to all of your day-to-day experiences. And so the good days and the bad days no longer hold that polarity, and they become this oneness of all of these experiences can be loving. And even though they might not feel good every day, and even though I might experience that pattern again or not, maybe it's completely healed and that's amazing too, that you trust yourself to hold those things in a different light. And it's really that practice of integration is that practice of showing up as that new version of self and sitting with those in a different light. And all the other elements of integration that can really help you and really nurture the experience you just had is spending more time in nature, slowing down, being more intentional, staying off your phone. A lot of people look at their phone post-ceremony and they're like, oh my gosh, they're like, I can't even deal with the energy of how much is on my phone. And eating foods closer to the earth, you know, spending time in water, spending time in silence, journaling. Again, I really encourage people in the integration process, whether you are on a micro or macro level, spend more time in the silence of your heart. No podcasts, no music, no phone calls with friends. Sit in a chair, sit in nature, sit on the floor, on the beach, wherever. Close your eyes and listen to what's on your heart. Not what's up here on your monkey, in your monkey mind. What is your heart trying to speak to you? And the more that you can tune in to that voice, that is really going to recreate your life in so many different ways. And, you know, also when it comes to integration, our entire life we're integrating. We're always going to be integrating new lessons, new realizations, new teachings. And this isn't a time you necessarily have to set aside and say, I have to integrate for an hour, or I have to integrate. You are constantly integrating, but it is the conscious choice to take these new beliefs, this new energy, and infuse it into your day to day, because you hold that power and you can choose not to. But if you do choose, I can guarantee you're going to live a pretty miraculous life and feel incredible. But yeah.
That's amazing. And I love your point that we're always, just like we're always programming ourselves, whether we realize it or not, we're always integrating the things that we pick up. And I think that's so well said, because we live in a society where we're constantly distracting ourselves, like constantly. So taking the time to sit with everything that has come up. And you also brought it back full circle about accepting the dark parts of yourselves, just like you accept the light and the love. That was so beautifully said. On TikTok, you're very open about the role that psilocybin has played in healing your trauma. So first, I just want to applaud your vulnerability there. But I also want to talk about more the specific things that psilocybin can help heal, can help treat. The first one being PTSD, because I'm sure many people who suffer from PTSD turn to other things, turn to alcohol as a coping mechanism, or just stuff it away entirely. And you also posted something recently about mushrooms and addiction, because a lot of the times the first question that someone might ask is, can you become addicted to psilocybin? So please share your thoughts on healing these things and your response to, can I become addicted to psilocybin?
Yes, absolutely. So let's start with trauma. Trauma is, we can have a big trauma, we can have a little trauma, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how big or small it was. All that matters is that your body remembers something traumatic. And when your body remembers it, hold on to it. So when we hold on to it, we store it in our energy body. This can come up in all of our energy centers in a specific one. For women, we hold it in our lower body. You know, we can hold it in our heart, our throat, and this really prevents us from fully stepping into our worth, into our authentic expression. And so trauma, unprocessed, creates these blocks. And what the medicine can do for this, yes, you can have recall a memory, a traumatic event that you suppressed, and that can come into light and you can remember that you had it. The emphasis is not necessarily on the remembering of the trauma itself. That can be healing because we can, with the medicine present, hold a different energy with it. We can feel more compassionate, more forgiving. For example, hosted a macro ceremony for a dear friend, and her dad was not present, and they have not had a relationship since she was 16, and her brother passed. There was a lot of trauma around her father. And in the ceremony, she was able to forgive her dad because she could see that he had no love for himself. And this is where I think when it comes to PTSD, trauma of any kind, whether you've been diagnosed with PTSD or not, this loving energy that gets invited into the spaces that have filled us with fear and with hurt and insecurity for so long gets replaced with love. And what is more healing than that? You know, in combo with, of course, from the energetic level, in combo with this level of disrupting all the autopilot thoughts that might stem from that. And another example here are people who experience an unemotional or emotionally unavailable father. And I'm going to speak to women in this pattern because it's super common. Growing up as a child and experiencing an emotionally unavailable masculine essentially creates this story in the body on a traumatic level of, I'm not enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not deserving of attention or love. I'm not accepted. And this is stored in the solar plexus, which is the energy center above the belly button, which is responsible for confidence, worthiness, moving forward, which then can result in this need to control, which then sends most women into their hypermasculine. And they're trying to control and control. And this all stems down from, I never felt enough. I never felt loved. And again, what this medicine can do is invite in an understanding, a compassionate, a forgiving energy, a healing, loving energy into those spaces. And again, this is less about releasing all of the things that happened to us. Maybe you never forget that it happened, but it changes your relationship with the wound. And that is the biggest part. And also gives you the opportunity to sit with it, because a lot of us don't sit with it. And that is that avoidance just grows and musters and comes out as frustration and sadness and control and this lack of ease and creating dis-ease in the body. So when we talk about addiction, you know, psilocybin, there is no research that it's addictive. However, anyone can become addicted to anything, right? Like if we choose to. However, it's actually been shown to heal addiction, because let's talk about addiction and the root of addiction. Let's take alcohol. Now, I'm not addicted to alcohol, so you know, for anyone who has experienced that, I don't want to misspeak on it, but if I'm just reading this from an energetic level, you go through something, you know, traumatic. You're avoiding it. You have all these feelings that you're just suppressing. And you're filling those spaces with substance because you just don't want to feel. You're numbing out, right? You're reaching for something because you don't want to feel what you're feeling. And what does the medicine do? Forces you to feel it so that it can be released. And so you can see how it's an unwinding of and an arriving to the root versus numb, 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 and breaking open these spaces so I can feel it and then I don't have to avoid it anymore. And then I'm no longer avoiding myself and I don't need substances to avoid these spaces that have felt so scary for so long. And do I think this could heal everything in the world? Yes. Because what I see underneath addiction, trauma, chronic disease, stress, high anxiety is fear, sadness, shame, guilt, are all these like emotions that we don't feel safe to feel. And then we see all these individual things come together, and this is where we create collective dis-ease. And so one individual at a time unwinding these spaces is going to create a massive, massive change on this planet. And really quickly to speak to antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, I'm not going to say what's right or wrong. I think they serve a purpose for when they need to serve the purpose. I personally, you know, was on them for a while. They did not serve me. And so personally, they have not showed up in a way that has been beneficial. And what I will say that they do not do is get to the root. And so, you know, they can be a life jacket for someone that needs it, that just needs to stay afloat. And that's completely understandable. And I know some people that, you know, live an incredible life and are much happier with their medications, but we're not getting down to the root at the end of it. And so you will forever be numbing or covering up something that just wants to be expressed. And that is where I see this medicine replacing these conventional medications and creating lasting healing, not a band-aid. And that's what we're really moving towards, I think, is how can we create lasting healing in our world, not just instant fixes, because that's not going to create the change that we need.
Absolutely. And so much of the holistic side of things, like you said in the beginning of this interview, that before you started your journey with mushroom medicine, you were kind of knee deep in all the holistic wellness girly things. And a lot of those things are based, they approach everything with the mindset of getting to the root, which I think is great. I think that's a huge element missing in so much of like what we consider to be helpful or healing in the Western society. I do think getting to the root is so important and often overlooked. So I love that you brought that up and how powerful this medicine can be. Because as I said, what we resist persists. So if we're not getting to the root, then we're really not getting anywhere. So well said. When I originally DM'd you to come on the podcast, a cold DM, by the way. So thank you so much for agreeing to come on. I originally included in my message to you how inspiring I thought it was that you so confidently and openly discussed the topic of mushroom medicine online, because it's not exactly a mainstream or accepted method of healing trauma yet. So, you know, it can still be looked at in a very critical light. And it's still very much something that we don't fully understand as a society, as I've said. So I want to ask you about any judgment or backlash that you may have faced for being so open on the internet about your use of mushroom medicine.
Yeah, I mean, beyond like, you know, TikTok comments and little messages here and there, I have mostly lived my life unbothered. Like, I just have this knowing inside of me that I'm here to liberate myself. And in the liberation of myself, I will liberate others. And the most powerful way to do that is by sharing things that are vulnerable and things that are not talked about. So psychedelics, abortion, you know, my relationship with men. I mean, everything that's private. And I joke because I'm like, I talk about my private life for a living. I see bit by bit, like the more that I put out, I just saw where it was creating more liberation and within myself and with others. And so that empowers me more than any fear of, oh, I might be judged for this. I would say that's one of my biggest strengths is judgment really just doesn't really wave me. Like, I'm here for it. and really, like, judgment is just a reflection of the spaces within ourselves that are unintegrated. And so when someone is judging the space that you're in, the space that you're exploring, what you're sharing, like we, every single part of us is within each other. And if I can be a mirror in some way, then amazing. But yeah, it really doesn't, it doesn't, you know, rock my ground. I'm just happy to be here and share.
That's so inspiring. I am on the path of trying to accept just that, like exactly how you said it, because I love speaking about my life and my experiences. And I'm trying to get more vulnerable on this podcast because I genuinely believe that, like, if I can help one person, then if 10 people have something to say about it, it doesn't matter. So that is very inspiring. Yeah. And I guess my last question, just after speaking about how powerful that this medicine can be and how transformative it could be and how many ways it could benefit humanity, how far off in the future do you think our world where we accept this is?
Such a good question. I think we're so close. I think we're much closer than we think. You know, if I'm putting out a timeline, I think our world is going to look completely different in a year. I think it's going to look so different. And this might not be the common thought, and I'm okay with that. I believe that we are heading towards healing collectively. I really, really do. I think there is enough conscious effort and conscious awareness and people that are committed to this space that we are quite literally shifting the direction of our collective. And that's really exciting to me. And I think this is less about just mushrooms, but it is about allowing ourselves to remember our oneness. And I think that's something we've forgotten. And we have become such an individualized society in so many different ways. And we are forgetting that everything within you is within me and vice versa. And mushrooms help us come back to that oneness and that truth. And that this is really not just a healing for you and me, it's for us. And as you heal, I heal, and vice versa. And so I don't think we're far. I think we're just getting started. Things are really expanding and escalating in this space. And I think we'll see a ton of progress very soon. And this really just comes down to more awareness and education about its healing and transformational properties. And again, I've said it before and I will say it boldly, this medicine is going to change the world, and it is the most powerful thing we have access to. And as soon as we recognize that and honor it, and maintain the honoring of it, we can create significant change. And that really excites me.
Yeah. And I think it's a great example of how social media can be a blessing, because without it, we wouldn't have people like you to share these messages. So thank you so much. Before I close this interview out, please tell everyone where they can find you in the world, on the internet. Tell us where we can find you.
Yes, both on TikTok and Instagram at Elevate with Ellie Styles, STILES. I'm not a Harry Styles relative, unfortunately. But yeah, connect with me over there. I love building this community and I love interacting with everybody. I would say on Instagram, it's a little more intimate and I love that. I will still be showing up on TikTok, but yeah, thank you so much for having me and just being open to the space and, you know, being a channel to deliver more awareness about this medicine. I'm really grateful.
Absolutely. And you are an amazing speaker. I can tell that you spoke from your heart the entire time. So thank you so much. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, truly, for coming on this podcast. It's literally people like you with messages like yours is the whole reason why I do this. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Lexi.